First of all, some police news. Chapel Hill police are searching for a missing teen, 15-year-old Colby Williams, last seen last week Wednesday. Police say they don't believe Williams is in danger, but if you have any information about his whereabouts, call 911 or contact Chapel Hill police directly. There's a photo of Colby on our website, chapelboro.com. Now we head to campus, where UNC yesterday hosted the Carolina Blood Drive at the Smith Center, one of the largest annual blood drives in the southeastern U.S. 97.9 The Kill's Brighton McConnell was there.
Typically, the floor of the Dean Smith Center is being used for basketball action. But as visitors walked into the arena Tuesday, the floor was filled with donation beds, chairs, and snack stations for the 34th annual Carolina Blood Drive. Jen Daniil is speaking with people waiting to be double red donors, or double the normal amount of red blood cells. To help prepare them, she's sharing tips on blood flow.
The main thing is you don't want your hands to be cold. And so you can heat up your arms or heat up your hands a little bit by rubbing them together, sometimes like massaging a little bit up to your forearm to get that iron-rich blood into your fingertips. So just no cold hands.
Daniil, who is the chair of the Carolina Blood Drive Committee, says it's the first time this exact floor setup is being used, where the double red donors are on the ground floor with normal donors, or whole blood donors.
So we have multiple whole blood stations.
That change is not the only one for the blood drive this year. For the first time since Daniil took charge, masking is optional, and there is less widespread concern about COVID-19. People are going to more and more in-person events, like blood drives, but as Daniil points out, that means they're going to other events too.
There's a set of challenges with that, right? Because since COVID is going down in many places and more people are becoming vaccinated, lots more people are going on vacations and they're going out and doing things in the summer. And so that does contribute to a really critical need for blood right now.
While Daniil describes the need for blood as constant, it's no exaggeration that national inventories are facing dire levels of blood. Last September, the American Red Cross said it had the lowest amount of blood stored in 7 years, largely due to collection interruptions by the COVID-19 pandemic. The Carolina Blood Drive actually bucked that trend in 2020 by setting an event record and a national record for the largest single-day drive in the year. Daniil credits that to a strong community at UNC and the outlying area, with many people coming back year in and year out to donate. Karen Webster, a UNC employee and Pittsburgh resident, is one of those people. In her 16th year of volunteering at the Carolina Blood Drive, she's pulling double duty, giving blood before finishing out a shift helping other donors get ready for their time in the chair.
I'm not a wealthy woman, and it's what I can do for free. I give platelets occasionally up at the hospital as well, because that's very important.
As she squeezes a piece of foam to help her blood flow into the 470-milliliter bag, Webster reflects on the selfless nature of the community around blood donors and volunteers.
I think it's something that we can do that we don't necessarily see the outcome, but we know in our minds that we're helping others who need help. And I think that's what the human race should do, is we should help others in any way we can.
UNC graduate student Catherine Benson shares similar thoughts on her way out of the Dean Dome with a Carolina Blood Drive t-shirt in hand. She says while Tuesday was her first donation in a while, she's made a point in the past to give at drives.
They always need blood, so it's a hugely helpful thing to do, and I don't know, it just feels good. It's not that much of an inconvenience, and it makes a big difference.
While it will be a few months before UNC hosts a blood drive once again, there are several pop-up drives that happen throughout the community. To find where to donate blood, head to redcrossblood.org/give. For 97.9 The Hill, I'm Brighton McConnell.
Organizers, by the way, say they collected 510 total units of blood at yesterday's event. Over to Carrboro now, where the town council last night officially approved the Carrboro Connects comprehensive plan that's set to guide town planning for the next 20 years. Also last night, council members approved a special use permit to allow the Art Center to renovate its new building on Roberson Street and approved a resolution to include additional funding for the IFC in next year's budget. That will be discussed further at a work session next week. Tonight, it's the Chapel Hill Town Council's turn. They're slated to vote on Town Manager Maurice Jones's budget proposal for next year when they meet virtually tonight at 7. Staying in Chapel Hill, several downed trees recently destroyed a footbridge on the lower Battle Branch Trail connecting the Chapel Hill Community Center with the UNC campus. You can see photos of the damage on our website, chapelborough.com. The lower trail is impassable where the trees are down, but the upper Battle Branch Trail is still open if you're walking between campus and Estes Drive. Meanwhile, some exciting news if you're heading downtown this month. Chapel Hill town officials have announced that parking will be free west of Columbia Street every Saturday for the rest of June. That's the latest effort to drive traffic downtown to support local businesses during the historically slower summer months when UNC is out of session. Now to Hillsboro, where Orange County Animal Services has reported its third positive rabies test of the year, this one involving a sheep that died over the weekend. Rabies cases in sheep are rare in North Carolina. The other two cases this year involved a bat and a raccoon. Orange County is hosting a low-cost rabies vaccine clinic next Wednesday, June 15th. You can get more info on that at the Animal Services page at orangecountync.gov. By the way, coming up later on this hour, we'll be speaking with Tennille Fox of Orange County Animal Services about a different issue, the danger of leaving pets in hot cars. They're getting the word out, warning people to avoid doing that this summer. Better news, meanwhile, from Hillsboro, as town officials are surveying residents on a new potential greenway that would connect Cates Creek Park with downtown. The survey is about whether to name it the Ridgeway Greenway, but Mayor Jen Weaver says regardless of the name, it's going to be a net gain for Hillsboro's connectivity.
This potential greenway, it is the quintessential example of the change in thinking that needs to happen around these kinds of bike ped facilities, because I think for so long, most of us are really used to thinking about these as recreational assets, and they certainly are that, but we really need to start thinking of bike ped facilities as, you know, a means of getting people to the places they need to go, whether it's work or school or visiting people or going to the grocery store or whatever it is, getting to the train station, that it's another way of getting the places we need to go, and that can replace car trips. So instead of adding two car trips, we're actually replacing car trips as a way of having a more sustainable community. And this is also ultimately really one of the major ways that we're going to have an impact on South Churton Street traffic, because the pure volume of through traffic going through there, there are no great measures other than getting more cars off the road that are actually going to have a substantial impact there.
That's Mayor Jen Weaver speaking there. Now we head to Raleigh, where the State House is set to take up a controversial bill that passed the State Senate last week. House Bill 755 is the so-called Parents' Rights Education Bill that's drawn fire not for its parents' rights provisions, but for other provisions that would ban the discussion of LGBTQ issues in early grades and potentially force schools to out students to their parents against their will. Alan Boynsey is the newest member of the State House, sworn in just last week to replace Verla Insko in the Chapel Hill Carborough District. Here's what he had to say about the bill yesterday on 97.9 The Hill.
One thing that was said at the outset of the session was that nothing controversial would be taken up, but lo and behold,
then boom, right? Yeah.
Here we have HB 755. It's come now to the House and likely will face a floor vote this week for a concurrence vote. Certainly, I and other Democrats plan on voting against it. It's certainly not in line with my vision, with what I ran on, which is an inclusive and accessible community. It's expected that the governor will veto it if it does pass the House. And, you know, really, for us, it's about sending the message that, of course, we support parents, of course, we support families and their children, but we want to make sure that we are focusing on the right things. We want to make sure that we're focusing on mental health resources for folks, for our children. Want to make sure that we're focusing on supporting our teachers and other school employees. It's really something that distracts away from what we actually need to do for our children, which is to have them be supported, feel welcomed, and like they can pursue whoever they are.
That's State Representative Alan Boynsey speaking there. You can listen back to that full conversation and read a transcript on our website, chapelborough.com. Finally, some good financial news for UNC. The university just had its AAA bond rating reaffirmed by each of the three major rating agencies, Standard & Poor's, Moody's, and Fitch. AAA is the highest possible rating. Time is 6:21. Time now for sports, brought to you this hour by CIMG Residential Mortgage. The schedule is set for this weekend's NCAA Baseball Super Regional, with the 10th-seeded Tar Heels hosting Arkansas in a best-of-three set for a trip to the College World Series in Omaha. Game one of the series will be this Saturday at 11 a.m. in Boshammer Stadium. Game two will be Sunday at 1. Then there will be a third game, if necessary, on Monday. That time is still yet to be determined. We're going to have all the action for you right here on 97.9 The Hill. If you want to watch it on TV, ESPN's got Game 1. Game 2 will be either ESPN or ESPN2. Elsewhere, individual honors are pouring in for various Tar Heel athletes, beginning in women's tennis, where ITA All-America honors in singles are in for Cameron Mora, Carson Tangilig, Fiona Crawley, and Elizabeth Scotty. Crawley and Scotty also earned All-American honors in doubles. Between singles and doubles combined, Cameron Mora has been named an All-American 5 times in her career. 4 Tar Heel men's golfers also earned All-American honors from the Golf Coaches Association of America. Ryan Gerard made the national second team, while Ryan Burnett, David Ford, and Austin Greaser earned honorable mention. Most All-American honorees for UNC men's golf since 1991. And in softball, Carolina's Sarah Jubas got named to the Academic All-America First Team by the College Sports Information Directors of America. Congratulations to all of those Tar Heel Scholar Athletes.